Welcome to the Emmaus Fellowship Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. Emmaus Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. We trust you find this encouraging as you pour over God's Word with us.
You gave me a voice and a song, taught me how to sing. Brothers and sisters, gave me a family.
Okay, so I have this encouragement that I'd like to share with you. But before I do that, I want to just let you know that I've been at the YWAM base here in Cimarron, Colorado for the week. I've been here teaching Youth with a Mission DTS students, and it's always a good time. It is lots of hours with the students and the staff. It's lots of teaching, and so I've used a lot of words over the last few days, and so I might keep this brief. But I want to just encourage you out of John 17. I'll be speaking verse 11 and then coming into verse 20 through 23. And before I jump into that, let me just say that when I was driving across the state on Sunday, Easter evening, I was listening to a news report, and they were talking about Myanmar and the challenges that are there. And it's just accelerated. I know that we've been talking about this for the last couple of months, but I just wanted you to know that as of a few days ago, there's over 540 confirmed deaths of protesters that have been shot by the government. And a lot of our friends who live over there, they're in jeopardy. And so I just want to ask us to be praying for them. 40 of those confirmed deaths were children. Some of those in their own homes where stray bullets flew into their house and killed them. And some of those children were out fetching water. It's just a devastating scene. And I just want to ask you to be praying for that country, for the country of Myanmar. I want to be asking you to be praying for our friends who are part of a fellowship there in Yangon, the capital city, as well as Ben and Shanna's friends there in Myanmar as well. And so let's just continue to lift that country up, would you? All right. I also want to point us towards this upcoming weekend as we anticipate Janine coming on Thursday, the 17th. So Thursday the 17th, the Art of Hearing God. That seminar is going to be happening Thursday evening, all day Friday and all day Saturday. And I look forward to being with you all this weekend. If you haven't signed up and you want to, there's still time for that. Look for that link in your e-blast this week. All right, let's move into our encouragement. It has to do with unity. John 17 is a prayer that Jesus is praying, and so I would consider it the Lord's Prayer. And whenever Jesus prays, we have to really pay attention, because you have to know that these prayers are on the heart of the Father, and these prayers are going to be answered. We also get a glimpse of Jesus's heart for us, and we also hear the truth in the prayers of Jesus. So John 17, verse 11, let me read this. Holy Father, I'm about to leave this world and return to be with you, but my disciples will remain here. Holy Father, each one that you have given to me, keep them in your name so that they will be united as one, even as we are united as one. And in verse 20, and I ask not only for these disciples, but also for those who will one day believe in me through their message. So now he's praying for us, because now 2,000 years later, we have believed in Jesus through the message that came through these disciples. Verse 21. I pray for them all to be joined together as one, even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one. I pray for them to become one with us, so that the world will recognize that you have sent me. Verse 22. For the very glory that you have given to me, I have given to them, so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. Verse 23. You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them, so that they will experience perfect unity. And the world will be convinced that you have sent me, for they will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. So that's John 17. And let me just start by pointing to that last verse. I mean, can you get your heart around this? That the same love that the Father has for Jesus, He has for you and I, and He has for the world. I just love it. Now, my emphasis is going to be primarily on verses 22 and 23, but I just want to remind us of Psalm 133:1, where it says how good and pleasant it is where God's people live together in unity. Now, we can strive for unity. We can develop all sorts of church programs, all sorts of opportunities for us to get together and be together, but that's not necessarily the heart of unity. More programs will not convince us that we're unified. The thing that will convince us that we're unified is the work that Jesus has done, and we're going to look at that here in just a little bit. All of these other things related to church and related to programs, they can be helpful as vehicles to give us opportunities to be together, but our unity does not hinge on that. Our unity hinges entirely on the work that Jesus has done for us. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to focus in on verse 22 here of John 17. It's important for us to note that the key to unity among the believers is experiencing the glory of God that Jesus has imparted to us. Let me say that again. The importance of unity here. Unity among the believers is experienced through the glory of God that Jesus has imparted to us. I want to read that again in verse 22. For the very glory that you have given to me, I have given to them, so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. All right. Now, there's a couple of ways I could go here with this. Let me just start by saying this. Some would argue that God will not share his glory with another. They would draw a verse from Isaiah and they would say, look, here it is. God says, I will not share my glory with another. Now, if you read that more fully, what he's saying there is, I will not share my glory with another God, little g, or an idol. We're not another. Okay? This life that we have in Christ is a life of unity, and it's very much related to the Holy Spirit coming into our lives and being united with our spirit and the two becoming one. There's a lot of bridal language around Jesus and the church, intimacy with God. It's very interesting. In fact, Peter would say that when we were born through a perishable seed. And that's the seed of the lineage of Adam. And that seed will bring death. And so we are born in the lineage of Adam. But when we are born anew, we are born of an imperishable seed, which is actually the Spirit of Christ coming into us. And I've said this before, but life is born out of intimacy. And so the two becoming one, when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, we become a new creation. We are born anew. This is the new life that we have in Christ, okay? So God is not sharing his glory with another. You're not another. You have been united with God through Christ. Now, this is where it gets fascinating for me, because I have seen two ditches on either side of the road, and I think that Jesus is speaking of the center lane of wellness when it comes to our understanding of the glory of God that he has given to us. There's a ditch over here that I've heard many of the folks that I've talked to who are a part of the New Age movement. They speak of being born with the divine nature. They speak of being part of God. They speak of actually God being in them from even before they were born. Many of them, because they believe in reincarnation, that they believe that the divine nature that they are born with is eternal, past, and that they are living this out in this phase of their life. Now, this is actually a false belief, and I would say that it's actually appealing and it's pretty convincing to a lot of folks, because they're searching for the answer to their deepest longings. God has placed deep longings in us, longings for significance, longings to belong, longings for purpose, longings for love, longings for security, longings to be understood, these deep longings. This is an attractive idea when it comes to just coming into a sense of who I am as a person, and that I get to be God, like I'm born into that. So that's a ditch over here. A ditch over here, I've actually heard more Christians in this ditch than most. And this ditch over here would say that your life is insignificant, that your life, well, they would actually quote scripture that say you're a worm, you know, and that your heart is deceitfully wicked, and that God is the only glorious thing, and that when we die, we're going to come into our full expression of, you know, our inheritance as children of God. But I would just say this, that often gets, I guess, like a veneer around it. And we call that veneer humility. But I would say that that's a false humility. And these are actually false beliefs here in this ditch. So either side of the road, there's a ditch and it's chock full of false beliefs. The problem over here with the New Age is that if you're born with a divine nature, then you have no need for a savior. You have no need to come into relationship with Jesus. You have no need to receive the Spirit of Christ within you. And so there's no need for that type of humility. Over here, there's this diminishment, and it's just the enemy. I believe it's just the enemy keeping people from living in their glory and keeping people very small in a way that is like, diminished to the point where they would never express the full purposes of God that have been ordained for them. And so there's a place right here. This is what Jesus is talking about when he says this, "The very glory that you have given to me, Father, I have given to them so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy." You're glorious. And when we experience the glory of God in each other, we experience unity. I would say that this is actually the reason why there's so much division in the church. I would say this is why there's so much disunity amongst the believers so often, is because we don't actually see the glory of Christ in each other. And we have these haughty opinions of ourselves, and if we're not careful, we can have spiritual pride, and that is a source of division in the church. And so Jesus is saying this, look, the very glory that you have given to me, I have given to them so here's the key, so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. This is really key for us, and it moves us down into verse 23. In verse 23, it talks about Jesus is praying and he's saying, you live fully in me and now I live fully in them. I live fully in my disciples. So there it is. Jesus is living fully in you. Not a tiny little dropper full of Holy Spirit. The full expression of Christ is in you, and that's glorious. And when we see that in each other, then unity is like experienced. So here it is. So that they will experience perfect unity. That's what we're talking about here. But if you look at verse 23 in the original Aramaic language, it's read quite differently. Instead of it saying, experience the unity that we enjoy, instead of it saying, experience perfect unity, this is what the Aramaic says. The Aramaic says, so that they will shrink into one. Now, this is where it gets kind of fun, because that's not a language that we use a lot of times. And we think, well, isn't that like that diminishment thing you were talking about over here in this ditch? Actually, no. This is actual humility. This is actual serving one another in a way that actually honors the glory that's in another person's life. It's blessing what God is doing. It's acknowledging that your life is sacred. And when we do that, then so much division, so much criticism, so much of the stuff that brings disunity and accusation and just the yuck, you know, that is like riddling this world left and right with all of that, it's so gross and unattractive that when the world sees the unity of the church because it is honoring the glory in one another that Christ has given us, when the unity that we experience as the church is being like born out of a place of respect and recognizing the work of God that's within each other, that's very attractive. And that's what will create a safe place for the world who does not know Jesus to come into the fellowship of believers and begin to experience the fullness of who they are as God's children as well. And so that's my encouragement for us this morning. Look, Jesus has given you the glory that was given to him by his Father. You share in the divine nature of Christ. You share in his divine nature, not because you were born into it, but because it was a gift that was given to you at salvation. His name is Holy Spirit. And he is the seal that guarantees this deposit. It's like a deposit guaranteeing your full inheritance. The Holy Spirit in you is glorious. And your spirit united with the Spirit of Christ is what brings unity to the believers. And that's the type of unity that transcends all different types of church expressions and church programs and all this kind of stuff that we endeavor to put into place to promote unity. Listen, unity is already there. It's our work to preserve it. It's our work to recognize the glory that's in each other and to live from a place of seeing each other from that perspective. So that's my encouragement for us today. And as we move towards the prompts, let me just say this, that we're inching towards summer, right? I mean, we got a couple months of spring and then we're looking at summer, and the leadership of Emmaus, we're starting to ask big questions about what are we going to do moving forward in the summer with Aspen Groves and with church and meeting every Sunday. And so this is going to come to you in the form of a survey. It's going to come to you in a form of conversations that we're going to have with you, maybe even in a few weeks at Emmaus when we gather together in person. I'll be asking you guys some of these questions. This is an opportunity for you who have been experiencing Aspen Groves to really make your voices known, and we'd love to hear from you. So with that, I'd like to close this time out, and then we'll move towards some prompts. I'll see you in just a few moments.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, feel free to drop us a line at emmausfellowship@icloud.com. If you're curious about ways you can be more deeply involved in this community, visit our website at emmausfellowship.org and be sure to like our Facebook page.